Hi, everybody. I'm here with Kelly Sidorek again today, and we are going to talk a little bit about grazing math. So, Kelly, why is that important to calculate your production and your grazing days?
Well, you know, I think one of the aspects of it is, you know, keeping track of our yield, for one thing. It's easier for grain farmers perhaps to do that, but we need to know what our actual production is and are we moving forward or not.
Right. And like one thing we were kind of talking about a little bit earlier was you're quite involved in holistic management. And yeah, you always talked about like having a feedback loop.
Right? Yes, yes. So the idea of being able to monitor your progress, and that's one of the ways to do it, is making sure that you're keeping track of your yield. And as we do it on an animal unit basis, and then keeping track of your animal days, which can then go further down to your animal days per acre to see if you in fact are moving the needle forward. A lot of the standard animal unit uses the 1,000 pounds. And in our operation, we don't. We use a 700-pound yearling as an animal unit. And then, and part of the reason that we started that was switching back and forth between pairs and yearlings, generally speaking, is a 2-to-1 ratio.
Right.
So then we could do some less formal math to figure that out. But always being able to go and say, okay, in these paddocks or pastures, this is our expected yield. This is how many animal days we're going to get out of that. So, you know, when we're starting to plan ahead of time, thinking, okay, we keep track of it. We know what we got last year. Are we adjusting the animal units? That'll make a difference. What about the days? Are we adjusting for that? What about the moisture conditions? You know, this year we dialed it back a bit. And so that's how we can keep track. And then also, you know, if it's 550-pound yearlings going out versus 800, they're going to consume more based on 2.5% body weight dry matter consumption. So you can run more lighter animals or than heavier ones.
Right. And I think one of the things that's challenging is kind of estimating forage production, right? When you're in a grazing situation. So how do you go?
Well, honestly, one of the ways that for people just starting out is I can get them to estimate if they were taking a hay crop off, what would the bales per acre be? And so then we can go back from that and say, okay, if it's 3 bales per acre and they're 1500 pound bales, then you're getting 4,500 pounds of production per acre. And then again, using the dry matter consumption of the cattle, you can figure out how many animals, you know, if you use between 2.5% and 3%, just for easy figuring here, I'm going to use 3. So a 700 pound animal would need 21 pounds of hay/dry matter
per day,
forage per day. So then you can then use your conversion of the 4,500 pounds an acre of the bales to figure out how many animals to start off your carrying capacity estimates.
Right. So, and this is really probably one of those instances where perfection is the enemy of the good, right?
Like honestly, yes. Yeah. And they would joke with you at our operation that there was a day when for decimal points, for even keeping track of grazing days, I would use 2 decimal points. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit of overkill. But also it depends on your operation and your context. You know, if you're having very small paddocks with high animal numbers and high stock density, you might want to use 2 decimal points. But I don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
but
I suppose in it, because if you're moving them a lot too,
yes,
that makes sense.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So just trying to figure out, you know, how many animals for how many days in a paddock of what acre size is how we figure that out.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about this, like for people to kind of get started and estimate?
Well, I think, you know, the concept of making sure we're actually measuring and being able to make accurate projections, you know, like I just referred when we were starting to talk about planning for this year, you know, are we feeling like it's going to be a drought and getting some information on that? Yeah, the likelihood was there, right? So then we better not max some stocking rates, but scale it back a bit. So that's one of our strategies has been.
Yeah, just one more question, I think. Like if you're kind of partway through the grazing season and conditions change quite a bit from the spring, which sometimes happens, right? Like we've been through the heat dome, or maybe you just get a pile of rain or something.
Yes.
How do you adjust those numbers? Like,
well, you know, with some of the strategies for an intensive or adaptive grazing, that when growth is fast, then the recovery of plants is faster and you can move faster. It's a bit counterintuitive because you'll end up moving when you're leaving some residual. But at the end of the day, just trying to think of now, if it is getting really dry, we did have at the end of May and maybe a little bit into June, it was pretty good conditions and it was fast growth. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know if that lasted 2 weeks. And it has now just slowed right down as if it was, you know, August. So then thinking about, we don't want to be making our real fast first round because the growth is optimum and really strong. So already kind of slowing down a little bit, thinking about forward, what have we got ahead of us for forage in our paddocks?
Okay. Yeah.
Replan, I guess, would be the other part of it. You know, we first of all make the plan of how are we going to move these animals, roughly how long are they going to be in each paddock, and then always monitoring the situation and seeing how do we need to adapt.
Yeah, I guess that's the key. You just have to always be.
You always have to be adapting. Yes, I'm looking forward to adapting with the scenario you used of abundant moisture.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And other there's probably places that are dealing with that as well. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks very much, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lisa.